Amen. Lord, we're just praising. We thank you for another good night with you, another great night with you, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we're in. Father, help us to overcome the world and the flesh daily, minute by minute, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you for doing it. And Lord, I know that there's a lot of things that are going on in the world that will distract us. But Father, I'm just asking you to put a hunger in my heart for you, in everybody's heart here, for you, Lord. And I thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that we're going to see a mighty turnaround here in a lot of people because of the things that fixing to happen. We praise you, we glorify you, Father, all the work that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you for blessing everybody that comes to us tonight. Seeing this outreach right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for divine health for all of us. I thank you, Father, that the Spirit, the healing Spirit, is going through each one of us now, fixing the things that the enemy has put on us. In Jesus' name, and I praise you and I thank you, Father, for complete healing in everybody that needs it. In Jesus' name, even those that are listening in. At this time right now, I speak health and healing in everybody in Jesus' name and delivered from any torment, demon that might be lurking about in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for provisions for everyone that needs it in the name of Jesus. I praise you. Thank you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. Lord, and place it in us to stay in the Word. Daily, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anybody else got a prayer or testimony? What are y'all learning about? What are my messages?
A baby.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you later. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for bringing back family members that have left us for whatever reason. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request or a testimony? Okay, go ahead, Anna.
I want to pray for my sister Shelly. Some of you guys may remember the situation. It's been like a year and a half, I think, since her husband left her, and she's got five kids. Her husband is actually Matthew's brother. My sister's married his brother. So her husband Tim left, had a girlfriend like right away, and moved in with her. And my sister was just, being single, blah da 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 da, which is fine, which is good. They're not officially even divorced yet, but now she's got a boyfriend. And the Lord gave me a dream that there was a family function. I was there, and her boyfriend was there. Only her boyfriend was our gay cousin, Brent. And I thought, well, that obviously it's those, perverse spirits. Obviously he's gay. And when I told my dad the dream, my dad was like, whoa, he's like, you haven't met him, but I have. And he's so much like Brent, our cousin. So I just want to pray against this. I mean, obviously she's not divorced yet. It's not even okay. But also, she's got five kids, and Those spirits don't need to be around those kids. So in the name of Jesus, I just take authority over this, and I but break this ungodly union, this fornication, and this perverse spirits. I bind it. I forbid it. I forbid any spirits in him from so much as touching, speaking perversely to the children in the name of Jesus. These are my nieces and nephews, and I take authority over their safety in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for complete safety over the children. And I break this union, and I just, Lord, if you're not going to save him, just move him out. Or until you do, move him out in the name of Jesus, out of the way. I don't think he's living there or anything, but we just break it. We bind it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for
Indeed.
removing him and exposing him. Lord, I pray that you expose any spirits to my sister, Lord. It's not something I don't think I can tell her myself, Lord, but you can expose him in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I pray that that's exactly what happens, and that there be no heartbreak, no unforgiveness, Lord, that there just be a clean break and no more issues. And Lord, I pray, I know from a worldly point of view, she's justified, but Lord, I pray that you give her the utmost of integrity and a conscience of that her children are watching what she's doing. And Lord, that that would be her motivation. And Lord, the fear of God, and that she would do right. Lord, it's not even finished yet. So I thank you, Lord, for just putting a spirit of righteousness in that house, Lord, in the fear of God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just put our faith together with her and believe that it's already taken care of in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Work up that relationship, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay. Go ahead, Judy.
Hey Anna, as the Lord showed you, there's going to be reconciliation with your sister and your husband.
Well, Matthew did have one dream that Tim, his brother, was sitting at the end of a table, very humbled, and like, "Oh man, what have I done?"
Yeah.
And so we have been believing for that, because we've got household salvation from both sides.
Yeah,
So
amen.
we've been believing that the Lord's going to save Tim, and of course Shelly,
Amen.
and that if they're both saved, this would be the ideal situation, obviously, to have the family back together.
Amen. Lord, turn them around.
Amen.
Turn them around.
Amen. Yes,
Thank you,
Lord, do
Father.
that.
Thank you, Lord, for restoring what the enemy has stolen there, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bring conviction and salvation there, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, thank you
Amen.
for showing favor on all our families, Lord, that where they're in darkness and in rebellion to you, or just deception, Lord, of any kind of spirit, Lord, and that you're working in their hearts even now, because we've been praying, Lord, that they're being convicted, they're spending more time seeking you, and turning away from the things of this world and running after you and desiring you, and knowing that there's more of you, and knowing there's more to what the Bible says than what they've been taught, and what they're seeing in the churches that they are in, or in the world that they're in, that they know that the way the world is right now, that we need help. The world needs help. They need a savior. And I thank you, Lord, for fixing that which is broken, and healing hearts, healing souls, and making things right, Lord, in the name of Jesus, where there's been wrongs done. Thank you, Lord, for great testimonies, and our families are all going to be part of this great revival, Lord, that you've got planned, and they're all coming in. They're all coming in and being part of it, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God that all of our family coming in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, amen. I agree in all those prayers for them. But I have a prayer request. I shared something with my son Judah. I shared him Romans 6 several days ago, maybe a week ago. And I didn't hear anything back, and I kind of wondered, well, because I share that because in our conversing, I forget what it was about, what we were talking about, but at one point he said, we're sinners. I mean, we're all sinners. I'm always going to be a sinner. He said that, you know. And I didn't say anything at that point, but then I felt led to send him that Romans 6 and heard nothing back until tonight. But tonight I wanted to send him. It was just so awesome, this what we the spiritual hunger. I sent him those and I let him know because I've always felt a calling on Judah's life. I'm just a really, you know, there are special callings. I just a special calling in his life. And I told him that. I said, I really feel this, look, Judah. I just want you to be blessed by these testimonies, you know. So he texts back and tells me things like, I don't read mass PDFs. We're not gods. Man is not God. They said, we are small g's. And I said, yes, it does say that in Psalms. I said that where it says about how I say you are gods. So that was it. That's all I said is I'm sorry, I just wanted to share some testimonies with you that would to encourage you. And they said, and by the way, he says, we are sinners, but we are saved by grace. And then I ignored that. I didn't respond to that. I said back again, well, you don't have to read this these testimonies of what I just sent you or not. I just wanted to bless you, but I wanted to be encouraged. That's all I said. And they text back again and said, I love you, Mom, but I just don't want to argue over theology. I wasn't really arguing at all. I said, Judah, you're the one who started this. I just wanted to show you these testimonies. And I said, okay, but I'll just leave you alone now or something like that. So I was done. And then I just need something else while we're going after this. But anyway, I just really got me really like I was inside. I don't know, no, you know, why is he thinking this way? So I didn't answer anything back. I didn't text him again. I don't think he texted me again. I'm trying to remember if he did. But I just want to pray for him. Oh, I did send him just what I did. I just said a while ago, I did send him, tell him, I did tell him, I love you too, Judah. He did tell, I love you much, a lot of love you much, Mom, but I don't want to argue with theology. And I said, I don't argue with theology. I don't even know how to do that, Judah. I know how to just, I just like to share the truth of the Word of God. And so I just want to share this one last thing and then I'm done. And I sent him Romans 6, 1 and 2. How should we are freed from sin. How should we live any longer therein? You know, then the next verse goes with that. And I just sent that and that was it. And I said, there, I just wanted to share that truth of the Word of God. Yeah, I can't argue with the truth of God, the Word of God. So I ended that. So he's just in a place of, I think, just stubbornness against God's word. I'm seeing that now. I knew there was something not good there, but I still feel this something special as far as a calling on his life. I feel God's really wants to get hold of him, of course, and use him. And just want to pray for him. First, I wanted to have asked prayer for me because when I thought to get on here and share that, I was just really upset. But I'm not upset anymore. So thank the Lord. Not upset anymore. So I really don't need prayer, but Judah needs prayer. And so I just like if anyone would,
Now, is this your son?
yeah, my son Judah,
Okay,
who
yeah,
visited.
well,
Yeah.
most of our
He just messed up his thinking. Pardon?
most of my siblings always are confrontational when it comes to God. Not my siblings, but my kids
Yeah.
that go to a different, setting.
But he is a Christian, but he's been around sinning Christians, church he would belong to, you know, walked into a party he didn't, the pastor didn't know Denny and I were sitting there. He goes, I've brought in reinforcements, bring in liquor bottles. So that's what he was have been around. So I was like, but he has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He has that. But he does not, but he's just stuck. He's totally stuck where he's at. So
Well, let's just pray that let's break that off of him. In
amen.
the name of Jesus, right now, we break that religious spirit off of him, that critical spirit to go from him. Right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for opening him up to the truth of the gospel, and that when he sees something in the Word of God that's a new revelation to him, that he'll jump up and scream, "Thank you, Lord, for setting me free." Glory
Hallelujah.
be to God. And we
Amen.
praise you. We
Hallelujah.
thank you, Lord, for Judah's breakthrough comeback into
Listen.
the revelations of the truth of the gospel. And we
Hallelujah.
praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Judah is coming through.
Amen.
He's
Thank
breaking through all of that garbage. All of those strongholds are broken right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God.
you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Ooh, my. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just thinking, whatever religious preaching he's sitting under, you become like what you hear. I remember when I was at the church I was at, it's like you become and you start talking like they do. And that's probably what is speaking out of his mouth. That's what's manifesting. And it's that religious spiritual pride and self-righteousness and I already know it all. And the Lord, we just thank you for answering our prayers for Judah and all of our family members that
Yes,
are
yes.
stuck. We're all stuck somewhere in
Amen.
something, Lord. And
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, for removing the veil from their eyes and bringing them to a place of humbleness before you, humbling themselves to your word, that you can not just feed them with the milk, but just filling them with your Holy Spirit, which and just a desire to want to know the truth and a discernment, Lord, that there's something not right where they are, and that they start seeing things in the scriptures that don't line up with what your word says, and they start questioning things and asking you and going to you, and that you'll bring people who will listen to, because they don't always listen to their family members that try to help them. But you'll bring someone that they'll say the right thing and meet them at that level, or just it'll be the exactly what they needed to hear, and that you're working. We know that you're working in their hearts and in their minds and turning them around. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for saving them from all of these doctrines of demons. It's, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I've been saved, and I'm not going to lose my salvation because of anything that I do. And I thank you, Father, for getting all of that eternal, unconditional eternal security out of them. This sinner saved by grace, all of those crazy doctrines, Lord, and we thank you for breaking that out of them. And I know when the shaking comes, there's going to be a bunch of them come out of those apostate churches in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you're going to do that to our people before them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God for revelations every time they read the word. All they got to do is get in the New Testament and read it, and it tells them where they're wrong. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. It's done, Debbie. Judah is saved, gloriously. Is he filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, I believe he was one time. Yes.
Is he speaking in tongues?
Long time ago.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I know he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, so he must have.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought he was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've
All
never
right.
heard him speak in tongues. No, I'm not around him that much. I haven't been around him that much.
Okay. All right. Lord, give him a new revelation as to what tongues is for. That's an awesome gift that you've given us, Father. And I thank you for doing that for Judah and in all of our family members. Most of our family members probably are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for doing that for all of them. In Jesus' name. Wonderful. Powerful gift that you've given us. Amen. I don't recommend anyone being a missionary anywhere without the Holy Spirit. All right. Anyone else? Jenny, you got a good song, Missy. Whew, I forgot to get one. All right. Well, we wanted to talk tonight about spiritual hunger. I think Andrew suggested it, and I really love it. I think it's a good subject to talk about tonight. Let me find something here. I sent everyone this Spiritual Hunger by John Lake for one reason. He has a knack for explaining things very simply. And it's just a good little deal there. Good little lesson. It's not very long. Has anybody got any questions regarding spiritual hunger? What it is? How do I get it? All right, Missy.
You just ask God for it.
For what?
Spiritual hunger.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Yeah, you're just asking for it. I like the way that Lake put that out there, how to do it. So it's really good. Did you like the explanation he gave through Moses? I love that. That was awesome. Okay, go ahead, Andrew. I don't want to get up here and talk. I want some of y'all to talk.
Okay, I remember a long time ago, I was learning scripture verses. And I think I got to maybe the 15th verse, and I would list them, on a sheet of paper. I think I still have the sheet of paper somewhere around here. And then I just sat down and it was kind of sad, I was moping a bit before the Lord, and I got a question given to me. What's wrong, Andrew? And I said, "Well, Lord, it's really nice to have these verses and everything, but I just want them to be alive for me, because and that was the, I guess, the spiritual hunger verse, because and that was way back a long time ago, and the Lord, when you first get saved and you listen to all the words that the preacher's saying to you, this was especially in those Pentecostal churches that I used to go to. I'm telling you, they gave you a spiritual hunger just by some of the stuff they used to read, in the book of Acts, especially, And so I went down a reminiscent lane there, and I was trying to find examples in the Old Testament, but I didn't really look there, but I found it in still the Old Testament time in the book of John, okay, 668. And it's in John chapter 6, it talks about a spiritual hunger that they knew they had. And Jesus comes to them, and it says there, and Jesus said to them, after 666, upon this, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, would you go, would ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we know that, and have believed that, and know that thou art the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Didn't I choose you 12?" And of course, he mentions the item about Judas Iscariot, one of you is a devil. But, you know, they wanted to stay with him because they hungered for the word. And of course, there's Acts 3. You know, they read that Acts 3 a lot. I'm just trying to find it on my computer. Goes really slow sometimes. And in 3 and 7, 3 and 19, sorry, it mentions, "Repent therefore and turn again unto the blotting out of your sins." That so seasons of refreshing may come from the Lord's face. And of course, it's from the Lord's face. There's a mirror there. There's faith there. There's an increase there in that one. And, 22, Moses indeed saith that a prophet shall the Lord raise up unto you from your brethren, like unto me, and him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken, these words, give you a spiritual hunger for the Lord. In 25, "And ye are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God covenanted with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, when you're a young Christian, you tend to know of a lineage there with Abraham, and you don't really understand a lot of that, but everyone's going to be blessed. And it's about faith and faithful Abraham. The righteous shall live by faith. And then all these things, you get mustered up. You get a desire for the blessings of, right? Because you got nothing to eat, basically, basically, you're going to eat the cow bread when there's nothing to eat. So I did read a little bit about it in that book there. I was just, because you remember those days, you remember those first times, and you're so excited and you really want to get out there and tell somebody else. But it's kind of like you're a little bit mute when you're first born again and you don't know how to speak it and it doesn't come out of your mouth right. And you try to tell other people, but the desire and the passion for the food there, is there for that righteousness to come out of your mouth to tell others, "Oh, you should hear what I just found out. Oh, I have a new thing here on how you guys can be saved," And then you look at them and they look at you kind of strange. And you're going, "What do you mean you don't understand?" And I don't agree with them sending out babies to do a more mature job than people should be doing, anyways, you have to soon grow up and you have to practice on how to bring the salvation message to people too. It has to roll off your tongue and there was a time there, I remember, that I wanted to dumb everything down because I thought it was too difficult for them. I wanted to simplify it, so simplistic, and you could see the apostle doing that in a lot of places. You can see how patient Jesus was with them, he's telling them about a sign, of changing the water in the earthen vessel to wine and stuff, And they call it a sign, but people go, "Hey, man, he made a miracle," and they lose the idea of what's going on there, and they have no sense of understanding or even how to explain it to them, for how to explain this, because they're just looking at water changing to wine because they got other ideas and stuff. So there's really no initiative to or hunger there, I would say. We hunger after this righteousness because we want to be so filled with it, And when they go through that Pentecostal items too, that really gets you going. Oh man, dreams and visions and all that stuff, and you get all excited and you're in hunger for more and more of the word, and it's good to be hungry for the word, because we wanna walk in that truth. There's a lot of truth there, and just like it says in the in John, the third letter of John, "No greater grace do I have than to see my children walking in the truth." And this walk and journey that we're on, there's just so many different mantras and things that can block it. So many sayings that they have in the church, as was even said before we started talking about this. It's like not really, it's taking away from people's hunger, when they don't understand that they're either a sinner or saved by grace. And it's just a sad thing that they have all these kind of items in there that would make them feed on something they're not supposed to be feeding on. And it's like garbage food. And when you fill up on garbage food, you don't have any room left for the real food, so you got to get rid of that. There are even some people who have fasted, and they actually vomit because they must have been fed something wrong. And it's got to come out of you, and that's what sometimes fasting does for you. And I've experienced that on some of my fasts where it was only water, and only water came out. But something there, I would say, why would I get sick if I'm fasting? Because I personally think it's because you were fed some garbage food there, some mantra. Like, look, you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. And we know the review of the baptism of John, or of Romans chapter 6, is great. I remember even telling that to my son. You got to review that, Ben. You're going to go get baptized, and you got to study up on chapter 6. And guess who else is studying? If he's going to make, I'm going to make him st I better know what I'm talking about. And you tend to remember the fellowships and all the infilling of so much word from UBM on Wednesdays and Sundays, and the fellowships too. And it really helps a lot, that we pray together and we get filled together with the word, and we then experience answers to prayer and manifest it. Like this, of course, even in the churchianity, I was getting that. And the Lord even reminds you of some of the stuff where he was, if you ask him, to remind you of some of the stuff when you were still in your predestined state, he'll actually remind you of some of the stuff he did with you there. And then, of course, after you were called, and for me, after he came back and rescued me. So there's a, everyone wants to give their testimony, but it's an ongoing testimony too. Because we're not there yet, and the apostles teach that way, to not look behind, but to look forward to what the things that are coming, and those things that are forward to those things that are coming, that we're going to be going through, even in tribulation times, are times of our hunger And times where we wonder, I think he reads our mind. I think he's saying, am I watching properly? That goes, am I ready, Lord? We have some brethren there that are going through some real very rough times in other countries. Am I ready for stuff like that, Lord? Am I watching? So it all turns out that we're really very much concerned about that, and that's actually the Lord knowing that you want to be filled more and have that hunger of the Spirit more and more. We're not there till we arrive. I read that certain passage from John 6:68 because Judas was there. Did he stop his hunger? Did he forget something? And we know the type and shadow behind that, him being a corporate body, but is he already operating in some extent right now with bringing in someone who comes in his name and says that he is the Christ and deceives many? So I don't know exactly, but deceivers are not really supposed to be in the church, and I don't think they're doing this maliciously. I just think they're repeating these mantras, and it's garbage food, and we got to get that to come out of them and fill in with the good stuff. And because it's being spoken in church. And what is in church when they don't even have the correct definition in the dictionary of that word? Anyway, we need our witness. We hunger for more of the Spirit, more of the water, and more of the blood, more of that witness to be that good witness. We need that. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. But that's that witness of Spirit, of water, of word. That's where the Spirit of the Lord is, and he fills our soul with the fruit of Christ. And if we're going to be walking in that truth to the fullness of the truth, that we need that truth. I'm telling you the truth. There's only one truth, and there's only one Jesus, but there's a lot more for us to have, and we want it all. And we hunger for that. We desire it. We sometimes think, oh man, how much do I still have to eat here? I'm a pretty good eater when it comes to kitchen food, but I want all that I can have from the Lord, and that's to be ready and to watch. We still need to be ready and watch for these things. You got to watch what you eat too. And there is a narrative out there that's associated with church, but there is a narrative out there that's associated when you go to work every day, when you talk to people in the grocery store, But are we accepting every sort of word that comes to us, or do we accept that anointed true word and forget the rest? So there is a carefulness to this hunger too. You just don't eat everything, because you're going to have to put a knife to your throat if you do. That's what it says in the Proverbs, and it's going to fall. It will go in here, but it's supposed to come out. Put a knife to your throat. Don't desire those dainties. They're not very good. And I think it's chapter the 20th proverb, or read them all. It's in the Proverbs. It's supposed to be one a day. I was reading it one a day, and sometimes you forget to read them when you have all this time and you're retired. I'm trying to get back to that. I hope my son is still reading his proverb a day. Anyway, praise God. I'm glad I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the word still. I get more excited as I talk about it. So, I just want people to get hungered so that they can grow up. too. It's part of your growth, and it's part of your walk for sure. When you look at the Pilgrim's Progress, he's got a journey there, but the journey is his actual walk. There's Psalm 121 is a journey, and even though we like Psalm 91, it's a journey too. And we have 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 11, it's a journey too, And we want that journey of righteousness. We want the journey with a cross. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to be giving crosses to people. You're supposed to be giving food to people, and not a cross, You don't get a cross from a Christian, but it's just, there's something wrong, Everyone here has someone, I don't like saying it, but they have someone who in the past, every family had someone who passed away in those wars, and that's not a good cross to have. And we just want people to be in hunger for the Lord, in drawing by the Lord draws a person to be hungry too. I mean, when you know you're a sinner, when you know you're one of them worst badasses ever, the Lord uses that for you to get saved, And there's some really bad people who have a good report of how the Lord came and saved them. I mean, we know even one of the apostles who was a Pharisee who became an apostle. And look at his report on how he got saved. And he met a man that outshone the noonday sun. Go ask your physics teacher how much light you need to do that. I don't think they would allow such a question in schools nowadays in high school. Anyway, praise and glory to God. And thank you, Father.
Yeah. All right. Jimmy, you want to go ahead and play this, and we can really get into the word tonight. I've got a couple of things that I'd like to relate. Go ahead. You got permission. Yeah.
It's overwhelming. drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace, it's so extravagant. Your friendship, it is so intimate. And I find I'm moving to the rhythms of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in our secret place. 'Cause your love is extravagant. It's spread wide in the arms of Christ. It's the love that covers sin. No great love have I ever known. Did you consider me a friend? Yeah. I'm spread wide in the arms of Christ. It's the love that covers sin. My heart again.
Capture my heart.
Capture my heart again.
Capture my heart.
'Cause your love, it is extravagant.
Amen. How appropriate. That was a good song. I don't guess I've ever heard that one before. That's a good one. All right. I did want to read you a little bit of something to get this thing kicked off. And he says, under the heading of whatever it is, chapter one, spiritual hunger, he says this, Lake says this. He said, no matter what your soul may be coveting, if it becomes the supreme cry in your life, not the secondary matter, or the third, or fourth, the fifth, or tenth, but the supreme desire of your soul, the paramount issue, all the powers and energies of your spirit, soul, and body are reaching out and crying out to God for the answer, it's going to come. And I believe that. I believe if we, with all of our heart, reach out and we want spiritual hunger, and you cry to God for spiritual hunger, guess what's going to happen? He's going to bless you with it. And if it's somebody in your family that you're praying for, if you cry out to God with everything that you have about what's just going to happen, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come to pass. That's faith. That's faith in action. Glory to God. Knowing that when you pray, God's going to answer your prayers. All right. Anybody got any comments or anything they'd like to add? Yeah, I like what he says in this one here today. I'm gonna just keep going for a little bit. He said, "Isn't it a strange thing that man don't have sense enough to call on God for physical difficulty as well as for spiritual one?" He said, "But I didn't." But he said, one thing matured in my heart, a real hunger. And the hunger of a man's soul must be satisfied. It is a law of God which is in the depths of the spirit. God will answer the heart that cries. God will answer the soul that asks. Christ Jesus comes to us with a divine assurance and invites us, when we are hungry, to pray, to believe, and to take from the Lord that which our soul covets and our heart yearns for. Glory to God. Then he talks about the cow bread. And I like what the, did you like the testimony about the, what are y'all laughing about?
I'd never heard of cow bread before when I read that and what it was. I just
Well, it was Bob. Have you ever cooked? Have you ever done a cob, a corn cob, and what do you say? Cut it up, real cut it up, and then you never done it? The smell is tremendous. It's nice. It smells like you can eat it, you know?
Well, when
It
you
really
eat
does.
corn on the cob and you cook the corn on the cob and you eat all the corn off it. And when we were kids, we put so much butter and salt and all that stuff on our corn that, we would just suck the corn cob, from all that, get all that juice that was in there and all the leftover butter and all that stuff. So I don't know. I don't think we ever ate the corn cobs. I don't know, but I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Amen. Glory be to God. He goes on, he talks about his experiences and other people's experiences when they call out to God. He says, there is something in the call of a soul that is created. It brings things to pass. When the supreme desire of your heart cries out to God, all the spiritual energy of your nature and the powers of God that come to you begin to concentrate and work toward that goal. That sounds like quantum faith. Then there comes into being that which your soul calls for by the conscious, creative exercise of faith. That is the creative action of faith, you and God working out and evidencing the power of creative desire. He said, I'm a believer in the partnership of man and God. This is truly amazing. He said, I believe there is a fusing, a symphonizing of the soul of God and man. The two become one. Not a saved man and a glorious God, but man fused into God and God fused into man. One divine creation. When Moses stood at the Red Sea, this is very good. This is a real good analogy of what he's talking about in that last paragraph. He said, when Moses stood at the Red Sea, it was not Moses and God, it was just God. God had said, thou shalt be as God. That's what he told Moses. Not different from God, but thou shalt be as God. We are continually saying, Lord, make me a channel, leaving ourselves separated from God in our thought and expecting God to pour his spiritual power and blessing through us. That ain't the highest thing. There is a greater experience than that in God's word. It's where you and God become one. Your whole body, your whole soul, your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole spirit, and the rhythm and fusion and symphony of the eternal God. one in heart, one in mind, one in soul, and you and God as one. When Moses stood at the Red Sea, he tried to back out of that relationship God was establishing and tried to throw the responsibility back on God. He was overwhelmed. It was too marvelous. Surely God must not have meant it. But God knew. When Moses began to recognize himself as an individual and God as another, it was offensive to God. He thought he could back up and pray to God to do something for him, the way God used to do in that old relationship. But he couldn't get away with it, could not do it. The idea that Moses would want to leave that place of close fellowship with him, that inner relationship, that divine symphony of Moses' soul and God's, was offensive to God. And God said, "Wherefore criest thou unto me?" In other words, shut up your praying, lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. God didn't say, "Moses, you stretch forth your hand and I'll divide the sea." He said, "You stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." God was telling Moses, he said, "You and I are one. Stretch forth your hand and divide the sea. You have all there is of me, and I have all there is of you. We are one and indivisible." God and man become one. The heart of man, the mind of man, the soul of man enters into God and God into him. The divine fires of the eternal Christ by the Holy Ghost come from heaven, and the lightnings of Jesus flash through that life. And the power of Christ invigorates, manifests, and demonstrates through that relationship. Oh, glory to God. Ooh, my, 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 my. Just think about it. It is God Almighty who is living inside of us. He ain't going nowhere. He's there. We are new creations, and when we're new creations, we have the Creator with us. Glory to God. Ooh, my, 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 my. That makes all the difference in the world. To me, it does. Now you can trust God with everything because you know where he is. He's right here. Glory to God, he's right here with you. He ain't going nowhere. All you have to do, all we have to do, is to believe. And that's what he keeps telling us over and over and over again. We only just believe. What did he tell us? Andrew, he said, repent and believe. That's what he told us. And that's what fires me up. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to add? Did you read the story about in there about oh, what's the guy's name? Dan Von Vuren's episode where he went under the bush after they told him about what had happened in the revival in town when the Americans came to town and the town drunk got saved and his niece got healed. Go ahead, Missy. I'm sorry.
Well, when you were talking about that with Moses, I was looking for the verses. I knew it was in John 17 about how him and God were one. It made me think of this in John 17:20. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me.
Yeah. Bingo.
And the
That's all we
glory,
have to go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
And then I started to read further. I was like, oh, I gotta read this too. And the glory which you have given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you did send me, and loved them even as you loved me. Even as you lovest, that old English, even as you love me. Wow. Sometimes I think about that. Like, wow. God loves Jesus and God loves us. But he doesn't love Jesus any more than he loves us.
Nope.
That's mind-boggling to me. Because really, what I understand that to mean is that it's just Jesus in us that he loves. That's why he loves us just as much as Jesus. Because it's that spirit man in us, spirit man in me is what God loves, and that's Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Judy.
Amen. And I was thinking too, it's like, we were in him. We were in him when he created everything. He created Christ. He created his son. He created his firstborn. Everything was created through him. And he made everything perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He created us perfectly. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, that's Christ in us, and we don't live anymore anyway. The old nature, the old Julie, the old person doesn't live anymore, doesn't exist. We died with Christ and we were raised with Christ. So it's, yeah, that's why he does. And he loved us while we were yet in our sins because he already knew us. It is just deep revelations, the understanding that God's given us about who we are, and that even put his love in us so that we would love him, because we wouldn't otherwise, because our sin nature can't, it won't, it rebels, it's against God. And then I was thinking also about the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 3. I just want to read that. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Which is what that was what he was saying, is Christ God in me, and me in God, and be full of God, full of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. And it is all you, God. You do get all the glory because you're the one doing this perfecting, beautiful work of holiness in each and every one of us, and bringing us all into the image of Christ 100-fold. And we won't be satisfied with anything less than the fullness of you in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
Glory be to God. Man, I'll tell you something. If your spirit's not getting fired up, you need to get saved. I'm telling you, I'm getting fired up here. Glory to God. Go ahead, Debbie.
I was just
Thank you,
thinking,
Jesus.
amen. I was just thinking when Missy was sharing, and when Julie too, all things that Missy shared just now, and Julie talked about receiving revelation from the word, that this hunger that God gives us as we ask or the spiritual hunger. He's going to give it to it. It enable us to meditate more on the word, not just read it, not just get in the word a lot, but take that
But
time to really
you
meditate. Even just two scriptures, the God will give us real revelation of if we just meditate and how much more we can realize who we are in him by the real meditation on the word, and we get that through hungering for him. So just thank the Lord for that,
Amen.
to meditate and receive revelation from it. Amen.
I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about that Ephesians 3 prayer that you just prayed. He prayed that prayer over his brother, drunken brother, and within 10 days his brother was saved. After praying it every day, two or three times a day, maybe even more, he'd pray that prayer over his brother. He'd get down on his knees and he'd pray that prayer over his brother. And within 10 days, I believe he said, his brother came to the Lord. Glory to God. So yeah, that's just God and you working together. God and us working together. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Jenny.
It's a gift from the Lord, to want and to desire the word of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And once you taste and see that the Lord is good, don't you want more? When he starts giving you more, when he starts revealing himself more, the more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. And that's his gift, otherwise we wouldn't. We wouldn't come to him, and we wouldn't want to sit at his feet. We wouldn't have ears to hear, and that's why he gets all the glory. But it's that desperation that we have for him, that he puts that in us. Even we're desperate to know God, because you're not satisfied with just what you have, because there's more. That's the hunger. I'm hungry for more. It's like you eat something really good, like everyone's talking about, the pot blessing and all the great food and all that stuff, and it's good, but when you take a couple bites of something, oh, I want more of that, but even with the word of God and the spiritual realm, it's so much more than just, feeding our flesh. It's something God does in us, and we want more of that.
Yeah, how many times? It's good that we have people like David out there teaching us and all that kind of stuff. But when you come across a revelation yourself, it burns that fire. That fire just jumps up and go and just takes you out, man. No, I'm not talking about taking you out, but it jumps you up. It gets you fired up to go on and read more and to find out those revelations that he's opening up for you. Praise be to God. Can you imagine what would happen if a denomination, I'm not going to mention any name, denomination, but if a denomination, somebody in a denomination that doesn't believe in healing, come across those scriptures that tell us about healing and that how God's the same, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't stopped. And they come across it and God opens up their eyes to see how. That's what happened to Lake. That's what happened to Lake. He found out that God heals, still heals, and his whole family got healed because of him. Praise God. Woo, man. I love these kind of sessions. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to read just a little bit more. This is the miracle under the thorn tree. Lake says, I love to tell this story because it's a story of a hungry man. Glory to God. He said, a short time after I went to South Africa and God had begun to work very marvelously in the city of Johannesburg, a butcher who lived in the suburbs was advised by his physicians that he had developed such a tubercular state that he might not live more than 9 months. He wanted to make provisions so that his family would be cared for after he was gone. He'd already dug his grave, hadn't he? He bought a farm and undertook to develop it so that when he died, his family would have a means of existence. One day, he received a letter from friends at Johannesburg telling of the coming of what they spoke of as the American Brethren and of the wonderful things that were taking place. They told of so-and-so, a terrible drunkard who had been converted. Of his niece, who had been an invalid in a wheelchair for 5 years, who had been healed of God, how one of his other relatives had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and was speaking in tongues, glory to God, of other friends and neighbors who had been baptized and healed. He told of the powerful change that had come in the community. That's what happens. And all the marvels a vigorous work for God produces. Dan von Vuren took the letter. Now, this is what he did. And he crawled under an African thorn tree. He spread the letter out before God and began to discuss it with the Lord. He said, God in heaven, if you could come to Mr. So-and-so, a drunkard, and deliver him from his sin and save his soul and put the love of the joy of God in him, if you could come to this niece of mine, save her soul, heal her body, and send her out to be a blessing instead of a weight and burden upon a friend. If you could come to so-and-so and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, Lord, if you can do these things at Johannesburg, you can do something for me too. And he knelt down, put his face to the ground, and cried to God that he would do something for him. That morning, von Vuren was so stirred by the reading of that letter that his desire to be made whole got bigger than anything else in his consciousness. His heart reached for God. And that morning, his prayer went through to heaven, and God came down in his life, and in 10 minutes, he took all the breath he wanted. The pain was gone. The tuberculosis had disappeared. He was a whole man. But that's not all. Wait, there's more. He not only received a great physical healing, but God also had literally come in and taken possession of the man's life until he did not understand himself anymore. And in telling me, he said, brother, a new prayer from heaven was born in my spirit. I had prayed for my wife's salvation for 18 years, but I could never pray through. But that moment, that morning, I prayed through. It was all done when I got to the house. She stood and looked at me for 2 minutes until it dawned in her soul that I was gloriously healed of God. And she never asked a question as to how it took place, but fell on her knees, threw her hands up to heaven and said, pray for me, Dan, for God's sake, pray for me. I must find God today. And God came into her soul. Van Vuren had 11 splendid children. The mother and he began praying. And within a week, the whole household of 13 had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. He went to his brother's farm, told of the wonder that God had done, prayed through, and in a little while, 19 families were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He said God so filled von Vuren's life with his glory that one morning God said to him, go to Pretoria. I'm going to send you to the different members of Parliament. At executive headquarters, he was admitted to the presence of Premier Lewis Both. Both told me about it after. Premier Both said, late, I have known von Vuren from the time he was a boy. I have known him as a reckless, rollicking fellow. But that man came into my office, stood 10 feet from my desk, and I looked up, and before he began to speak, I began to shake in my chair. He said, I knelt down. I had to stick my head under the desk and cry to God. Why, he looked and he talked like God. He had the majesty of God. He was superhumanly wonderful. And von Viren then went to the office of the Secretary of State and then to the Secretary of the Treasury. And almost the same thing took place in each instance. For 18 days, God kept him going from this one to that one, lawyers, judges, officials in the land, until every high official in the land knew there was a God, a Christ, and a Savior, and a baptism of the Holy Ghost, all because Dan von Vuren had really hungered after God. Blessed are they which do hunger. And for several years, Blake said, before I left Africa, he went up and down the land like a burning fire. And everywhere he went, sinners were saved, sick were healed, men and women were baptized in the Holy Ghost, until he set the outlying districts on fire with the power of God. Glory be to God. Ooh, my. Somebody ought to be shouting out there. Glory to God. Go ahead, Missy.
I read that this section here just before I got on. While I was reading it for a while. I didn't quite get the whole chapter done, but anyway, the part there where he gets healed of tuberculosis and his wife looked at him for 2 minutes and blah blah blah. It made me think. It didn't hit me until you just read it this time. It didn't hit me when I read it earlier myself, but when you read that, it made me think of when we get our DNA restoration and family and friends see us, that's gonna do a work in them. Like, we ain't gonna have to say much of anything. They're gonna know that they're gonna know that God has done it, and they're gonna wanna hear what we have to say. They're gonna know that everything that we've been trying to tell them is the truth.
That's what I keep thinking about, Missy. It's so awesome. Yes, I get it so far when I think of that. Yeah.
I submit to you this, Missy. Why wait?
What do you mean, why wait?
Why wait until the DNA restoration? Why don't we do like von Guren did and go out and seek God for herself and get that hunger and be hungered and start it right now? I believe this, and Lake goes on into this. If you've read the whole thing, you understand what I'm talking about. He says that the great things that are going to happen in the future are going to be because people prayed and prayed it in. And I believe the man-child ministry is going to be coming because of people's prayers. I believe all of the things that are going to happen is going to be because of people's prayer. And the more that we pray, the more that we seek and after God and give up everything, and God has to do it. It has to be God. It ain't nothing we can do, because we tried, hadn't we? It has to be God that we can bring it about in a quick fashion by
Yeah,
doing
I thought
like,
about that. Like on the day of Pentecost, that there's 120 in the upper room that prayed, and that's what brought the outpouring of the Holy Spirit then. And I've often thought
absolutely.
that it's going to take the same thing for the latter rain.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying though is that when people see us, see that DNA restoration, see that we're healed, that we're different physically, that's really going to catch them.
I agree. But what's going to bring it about is our prayers. Praise God.
Right.
I had to get the last word in, Missy. You know
You're right. You're right.
that. All right, Debbie, go ahead. I'm just kidding.
Always the last, as always, someone's got to get the last word in.
Yeah, that's true.
I know what you're saying, Missy, because like my family isn't around here. So my belief is that Denny's going to come back and be translated to our children, each one of
Yep.
them over the country. And when they, so when they see that, Restoration. When they see that, and when they see their loved one alive, oh my goodness. So that is going to be awesome. I know what you're saying about now for around people here or loved ones that are around us, how our fire can affect them through our prayers. But those who aren't around us, and when they do see us, can you imagine, Missy, like what you're saying? It's going to be so astounding. Yeah.
It's
Praise the
going to
Lord.
be awesome.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what's going to happen when the people start resurrection on
Right.
Resurrection Day?
Oh God,
When what's
yes.
going to happen when Denny comes back?
Yeah,
Woo! Glory to God, going to be
that's
a
what I
going
said. When he comes back
to
and they see him, we're translated to him and they see him, wow. Not just resurrected, but young again too.
yeah.
So yeah.
He'll be calling Jimmy. He said, "You know who this is? Is that you, Daddy?" Yeah, I can see it happening.
Kidding.
Yeah, it's going to happen, but it's our prayers that's going to make it happen. And what reason I want to, I'm glad that Andrew mentioned this, but a reason I want to do this spiritual hunger thing here with late is because of one thing. It's going to be up to us to pray it in. And the people, of course, that are across the nation. But just think of this. What you pray now is going to happen shortly. When we put our whole soul, mind, what do you call it? Mind, soul, and body into our prayers and believe with everything that we have that it's going to happen. Guess what? It'll bring it about a lot quicker. Glory to God. And when we've been praying, all of us have been praying about things and across the world and all that's great. That's good, right? We're seeing results right now. We're seeing results from what the Lord has been doing because of our prayer. And this little booklet here was I guess a fire lit in me, and I hope it's lit in other people as well. A hunger for the Lord is what we all need. A spiritual hunger for the Lord that you can't put down. Praise God, that the enemy cannot mess with. Because when you do that, these strongholds start coming down. Okay, I'll quit preaching. All right, who's next? I see people leaving. Good gracious. I didn't mean to run anybody off.
Well, you quit preaching. You said, I'm
I
going to quit preaching,
guess.
so they left.
Well, maybe so. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, the hunger that we desire has to be transferred also to the people who are our loved ones so that they can have that hunger too. And that hunger is what's going to draw them. Especially for this time we're in, because we know what's coming, and they some of them have no idea at all. So it has to be from the Lord to do this and to call them and correct them and whatever needs to be done. So that's I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah, we all need to show that exuberance, that fire that God has given us to the people around us, so they get excited too about God. And I'll tell you something else. When they see miracles happening, Woo, glory to God. Look out. How'd you do that? I didn't do nothing. All I did was believe what God told me. It's the fire of God. Amen. Listen to this. He talks about Fred Bosworth, who was a good friend of John Lake's. He said, I sat in Fred Bosworth's home one night before Fred thought of preaching the gospel and listened to Lillian Thistlethwaite. Everybody knows who that was. Sister-in-law of Charles Parham, tell of God and his love. His sanctifying grace and power, and what real holiness is. It was not her arguments of logic that impressed me. It was herself. It was the divine holiness that came from her soul. It was the living spirit of God that came out of the woman's life. I sat back in the room as far away as I could get. I was self-satisfied, doing well in the world, prosperous with all the accompaniments that go with a successful life. But that night, my heart became so hungry that I fell on my knees. And those who were present will tell you yet that they had never heard anybody pray as I prayed. And Bosworth said long afterwards, he said, Late, there's one instance that I shall always remember in your life. And that was the night you prayed in my home until the rafters shook, until God came down, until the fire struck, until God came in and sanctified our hearts. And all the devils in hell could not make me believe there's not a real sanctified experience of Jesus Christ. When God comes in and makes your heart pure and takes self out of your nature and gives you divine triumph over sin and self, blessed are they which do hunger. Beloved, pray to get hungry. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I hope there's somebody else getting fired up other than myself, because every time I read something like that, I'm thinking about this. I'm going after it. I'm going after it. I thank you for, Lord, for placing that want to of this spiritual awakening in our hearts. Make us all hungry, Father. Such a hunger in us, Lord, that we cannot satiate. It'll have to be you that does it. And we praise you, Father, for doing it. And that, Lord, that it will affect our very lives from this point on when we get it. And I thank you for it, Father. Put that hunger in all of us, Lord. It's my prayer. Thank you, Father. I believe revivals were started in the past because of people's hunger to see people changed. Yes, quicken us, Lord, and make us alive in you, Lord. Glory to God, and let that fire roar from our inner beings. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Woo, somebody else shout. I'm just saying. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yes, glory to God. Yeah, Missy, go ahead. You don't have one in the other ones, do you?
What?
You don't have one in the other hands, do you?
Well, I'm reading. I have this up on my screen and you're little.
Oh, okay. I got you. Go ahead.
This next section, Seymour's Prayer for Revival. Tom Seymour, is he the one that was involved with the Azusa Street Revival?
But somebody put the wrong, that's William Seymour.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not Tom. Somebody put the wrong name in there. He did that another time in there too. Put another name. It's William Seymour. It's
Is
just
so
a mistake.
okay, so it is William Seymour that's supposed to be in there.
Yes. Well,
In
just
the
read the
book.
rest of read it.
Well,
in the book, is it wrong? When we read that, is it in the book, is it wrong?
It doesn't make any difference. If it says Tom, it's wrong because it's Will Seymour. That's his
I
name.
thank you.
There is no
Okay,
Tom
that's
Seymour.
anyway, so he, because it mentions about Los Angeles, and so
Yeah.
this, he was the one related to the Azusa Street Revival. Okay, you want me to read that? I'll read that
Well,
section.
sure. Yeah. Be excited.
Okay, I will. Later, Brother Parham was preaching in Texas, a black man by the name of William Seymour, I'll correct it, came into his meeting. Parham related his experience to Brother William and myself. There was a deep hunger in that black man's soul. He worked as a waiter in a restaurant to support himself while preaching to a church of his own people. He knew God as his savior and sanctifier. He knew the power of God to heal. But as he listened to Parham, he became convinced of a bigger thing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He went on to Los Angeles without receiving it, but he said he was determined to preach all of God he knew to the people. He said, "Before I met Parham, such a hunger to have more of God was in my heart, and I prayed for 5 hours a day for 2.5 years. I got to Los Angeles, and there the hunger was not less, but more. I prayed, 'God, what can I do?' The Spirit said, 'Pray more. There are better things to be had in spiritual life, but you must be sought out, but they must be sought out with faith and prayer. But Lord, I'm praying 5 hours a day.' I increased my hours of prayer to 7 and prayed on for 1.5 years more. I prayed to God to give me what Parham preached, the real Holy Ghost and fire with tongues and love and power of God like the apostles had. God had put such a hunger in that man's heart that when the fire of God came, it glorified him. I do not believe any other man in modern times had a more wonderful deluge of God in his life than God gave to that dear fellow, and the glory and the power of a real Pentecost swept the world. That black man preached to my congregation of 10,000 people when the glory and power of God was upon his spirit, and men shook and trembled and cried to God. God was in him. Blessed are they which do hunger, for they shall be filled. I wonder what we are hungering for. Have we a real divine hunger, something our soul is asking for? If you have, God will answer. God will answer. By every law of the spirit, that men know, the answer is due to come. It will come. Bless God. It will come. It will come in more ways than you ever dreamed of. God is not confined to manifesting himself in tongues and interpretations alone. When I was a lad, I accompanied my father on a visit to the office of John A. McCall, the great insurance man. We were taken to McCall's office in his private elevator. It was the first time I had ever been in a great office building and ridden in an elevator, and I held my breath until the thing stopped. Then we stepped into his office, and the most beautiful office I have ever had beheld. The rugs were so thick I was afraid I would go through the floor when I stepped on them. His desk was a marvel, pure mahogany, and the top of his desk, inlaid in mother of pearl, was his name written in script. It was so magnificent that in my boyish soul I said, I am going to have an office just like this, and a desk like that with my name in it when I am a man. I did not know until I was in my 30th year how strong that was in my nature. It almost seemed to be forgotten. I was invited to Chicago to join an association of men who were establishing a life insurance company. They said, Lake, we want you to be manager of this association. We discussed the matter for 3 weeks until they came to my terms. And finally, the president said, step into this office. I want to show you something. We have a surprise for you. I stepped into an office, which was the exact duplicate of John A. McCall's office. And there in the center was a desk of pure mahogany. Instead of the name of John A. McCall, it was John G. Lake inscribed in mother of pearl. I had never spoken of that soul desire to a person in the world. Jeez Louise. That's just, I'm like thinking, wow. Anyway, I'm like,
thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Woo, my, my, my. Go ahead, Julie.
You think, Missy, Michael, or anyone else who read that part, you think that was his flesh, that God gave him something his flesh really wanted? Like that was an idol?
Oh, that you talking about that desk?
Yeah, with his name on it, inscribed in marble.
Oh, well, after he, if you remember, he had forgotten about it. He didn't know it, you know. We're talking about when he was a boy, he saw that desk. And this is years and years later. He hadn't even thought about it, I'm sure. And then when it happened, I don't know if it was an idol or whether it was just something that the Lord wanted to show him, what he could do. What do y'all think?
I don't know. It's like, was this before he was really serving the Lord? It almost sounds like it before he really went into ministry, because this had nothing to do with the ministry.
Well, after that is when he starts talking about it. He said, I didn't know until it was in my 30th year how strong that was in my nature. It's almost seemed to be forgotten. That's what he said before he saw that desk, you know, that the insurance company had bought it.
You know what it reminds me of? I think it was, there's a book called, I think it was Watchman Nee, The Latent Power of the Soul is what it made me think of. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah. Did you read the part about there is something in the call of a soul that is creating?
No, I didn't read that part yet.
Well, that's right after it. You mind if I read it?
Go ahead.
There is something in the call of a soul that is creating. It brings things to pass, glory to God. When the supreme desire of your heart cries out to God, all the spiritual energy of your nature and the powers of God that come to you begin to concentrate and work toward that goal. Then there comes into being that which your soul calls for by the conscious creating exercise of faith. That is the creative action of faith. You and God working out and evidencing the power of creative desire. He says, I am a believer in the partnership of man and God. I believe there is a fusing, a symphonizing of the soul of God and man. The two become one, not a saved man and a glorious God, but man fused into God. And God fused into man, one divine creation. I think I read that before, but it bears repeating. It bears repeating. Ooh, glory to God. Then it goes on and talks about Moses. And then talks about what Moses did, how he was working through Moses as one with him. And that's how God wants to work with us. He wants to be one with us, right? Glory to God. Yeah, Missy.
Well, it makes me think of quantum faith.
Yeah.
You know, quantum physics and all that. I mean everything that I remember, what I remember about quantum faith. I mean quantum mechanics, I guess is what you want to say.
Quantum physics.
Yeah, but it also they call it quantum
Yeah.
mechanics too, yeah. But anyway, I mean, there's people that believe in quantum mechanics that aren't Christians, and they see how what they say and what they think has an effect on things around them. You know, our words, I mean, we know our words have creative power, you know. Right.
Absolutely. That's what quantum faith is. What you
Right.
speak, that's what the Psalms tell us. What you speak with your mouth and what you're going to get. So if you confess a bad report, that's what you're going to get. If you confess the good report, that's what you're going to get. I'm speaking a good report. Anybody else want to speak the good report? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, after you read that, I thought of Ephesians 2:10, and that's a real good report because it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, upon good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." And we walk in Him, and you know that's. That's with God, because Colossians 3 and 3, you know, they talk about Emmanuel, but the real Emmanuel, I think, is in 3 and 3. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Both of them are there. Wow, you know, and if you're with Him, you know, you got to watch that word with, because, you know, that you don't want to be you know, for what fellowship hath righteousness with iniquity? You don't want that with. You want to be with God. So, with Christ, you know, for you died and your life is hid with Christ in God, and set your mind on things above, not. And of course, there's the other verse there that puts you in the heavenly places, which is 3 in 1. So, in Colossians and that. So. You know, the motivation there with all the verses that lead up to 2:10 also, you know, you're raised with it, you know, and you're made, there's another creative word, to be seated with Him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Why is our mindset down here on earth when we're supposed to have our mindset where He said we are supposed to be? Made to be seated with, and there's, you know, hid, for you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. So why are we earthbound? Why are we thinking here? You know, we should be thinking up there. It's just, and every single word there is showing God's sovereignty toward us. Every single one, you know, he prepares this for us that we should walk in it. And he's giving it all to us right before us. Why not walk in it? There's those wonderful verses, overall, in all, and through all. How come we don't walk in it? I want to walk in it.
I do too.
And there's the what? He's even telling you, I'm that sanctuary. I'm dwelling in you. What's there? He's dwelling in you, and walk. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And don't touch those unclean things, I'm telling you. And I'm going to be God to you. I'm going to be your father, and you're going to be my sons and daughters. Like, wow. there's the encouragement from the apostle, and that's God's encouragement. And of course, we get the encouragement from all the anointed people, like John G. Lake too, and everyone else. But we feed off of each other's encouragement. I just remembered the great encouragement verse that's in Hebrews. It's impossible for God to lie. And this is our great encouragement. I can't remember it verbatim. It's in Hebrews chapter 6, And there's the, people who like to have more than one witness. There's another one in Romans chapter 3 about God not being, let God be found true and every man a liar. So, wow. And that's the one who's walking in us and for us and over us. So praise and glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen. And the more you talk about it, the more you get fired up for God.
Yeah.
The more you talk to God about it, you get fired up. Thank you, Lord, for being in me. Thank you, Lord, for you and me and I in you. Lord,
you know,
God.
In him, we're children of light, and he's
yeah.
a God of light, and then there's no darkness in him at all. So now we know where we're getting that glory.
Yeah,
we got a candlestick within us individually, and we've got a corporate one too. So we're the temple of the Lord. Praise God.
Well, from
glory to glory.
Glory to glory to glory. Glory to God. And we are a light, a beacon of God. You could get up on the top of a rail fence and walk along, and people all over the world can see you. Because you've got the light of Christ blowing out of you, Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. You're just sitting there preaching the word and watching God work. Woo! My, 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 my. Thank you, Jesus. I see angels all over this room. You do. There's angels everywhere. Glory to God. They love it. They love it. The Lord loves it. The Lord, he loves for us to acknowledge that we are in him and he is in us. He loves us that much. It ain't God doing all the work. We're part of him. He's part of us. We all working together. Ooh, wow, my, my, my. Can't you just see yourself walking down the streets and coming across somebody that's needing some help? They down in all and bent over double, and you're going up and the fire of God just coming out your fingers, out your mouth, and everything. You go up there and you put your hands on them, say, be healed in the name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus. And then they straighten up right then and say, who was that you said? Who was that? You tell them that was Jesus. Repent and believe. Glory to God. Woo! Revival. Right there in Food City, right down the road here. Or Walmart, right down the road down that way. Aisle 8, we got healings for back problems. Aisle 7 is where you get your eyes fixed. Aisle 6, that's where you get your deliverances. I've envisioned that for years. That's happening. Go ahead, Debbie. I'm sitting here.
I think it's going to be, though, one of these days. I mean,
oh,
soon.
Yeah.
It's gonna,
so do I.
God's going to move in us that way. But anyway, When you're talking about God loves to hear us speak in this, or the angels do too, whatever you said there, just reminded me of Malachi. I just wanted to read that because I know you've all known this, but I love this. I've always liked this. When the first time I heard this, read this so many years ago, I just really love this part. Malachi 3:16 and through 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Now, when I first read this in the translation I had, might have been in King James, I liked how it worded it as, they will be mine when I make up my jewels. I thought, that's so awesome. I like that one better, but anyway, this is really good scripture.
Amen. That's a James dandy there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
A what dandy?
James dandy, Jim dandy. A lot of you say Jim dandy. I'll say James dandy.
Okay. Yeah, Jim dandy. I remember that. It's been a long time. Heard that
Yeah.
one.
Well, that's an old saying. Here's what Lake says about some things he said. God revealed to my soul in the days when I first went to Africa. Within 6 weeks after my feet touched the soil and before God had given me a white church to preach in, I said, "Lord, when you give me a church in which to preach this gospel, I will preach the highest and holiest thing God's Spirit reveals to my heart. And I don't care if anybody believes it or sees it. I'm going to preach the vision the Son of God puts in my soul. And he put within me the vision of the glorified Christ and the glorified Christian, both. Not a man simply saved from sin, but a man sanctified by God's power and infilled with his Spirit, created with and in Jesus Christ. One in nature, character, and substance." And my heart began to preach it. My mouth gave the message. My soul sent forth the word, and my spirit called such that wanted to be that character man to come to the feet of the Son of God and receive his blessing and power. Woo, glory to God. And the thing that was in my soul fired Dan Von Vuren's soul and kindled the faith of the people. And wherever it spread, it set men on fire for God. But in every new experience, men have to be tested and established through enduring. Some grew very weary. Others never had that high vision. But they had tongues, and because they had tongues, they felt equal to those who had died to themselves. They had more nerve and less experience. And they dragged the standard down. God has led them through the furnace. Friends, we need a coming up into God. This church worldwide needs to come up into God. We've been traveling around in a circle and burying our heads in the ground. We've had our eyes on the ground instead of up in the clouds, up at the throne. Look up to the glorified one. And if you want to see his bleeding hands, look to heaven where he is to see them. Don't look to Calvary to see him. He is the risen, glorified Son of God in heaven with all power and all authority, with the keys of hell and death. And he is the divine authority, the eternal overcoming manifestation of God in heaven. You and the glorified Christ as one are the divine manifestation of God. Come up to the throne, dear ones. Let the throne life and the throne love and the throne power and the throne spirit and the Holy Ghost in heaven possess you, and you will be a new man in Christ Jesus. And your tread will be the march of the conqueror, your crown, the crown of glory, and your power, the power of God. Glory be to God. Woo, my. That man knows how to write stuff. I like that. You could preach that, glory to God. Thank you. Go ahead, Julie.
Just what Debbie was reading in Malachi chapter 3. I like those verses too. And the version I first found that in is, I just want to read verse 17. Well, verse 16 and 17. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord heeded and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and thought on his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, my special possession on the day when I act. We're his special possession. So I
Amen.
just thought that was a neat way of wording that. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for making us your own special possession and jewels and precious ones and all the things you say about us, Lord. They are very dear to you, and they're your love letter out to us, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that you're writing books of remembrance of us, like these moments we're having right now when we speak of you and speak about your greatness and your goodness and all that you have for us and how much you love us and that we are one with you and that you want to work, live in us and move through us and do many, many mighty works. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we thank you, Lord. We surrender our lives to you. May let us do that daily, that you can have your way in us and move through us. And use our hands and use our mouths and use our heart of compassion and all our experiences that we have, Lord, that we can minister to the needy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Cool that Abbasi. Lord, give us more. We want that blessing of hunger and thirst. We want righteousness in every area of our lives and our soul. We want that longing, that desperation, that reach of our heart for more of God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we cry out to you, birth that new hunger for you in our hearts. Birth a hunger in our lives for you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us that listening right now. And I praise you, Father, for the humility and desperation and hunger that provoke us, Lord, to seek more of you. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Lord, that it is done in our lives. And Lord, that we would seek you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. We praise you, Lord, for that. Glory be to God. Keep that fire going, Lord. Keep the fire of God going in us, Lord. And every time we open that word of God, we see a new revelation and it sparks us back up again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've run out of time. Thank you, Lord God. I had a wonderful time. Y'all be blessed.